Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Hey everyone, this is Jodie Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. My name is Devin Leary and I'm joined by...
Not with, by Carolina Barlow. Devin, happy new year. We have some current events that we need to discuss briefly, and that is the hilarious Baldwin. Hilaria Baldwin.
Hilaria. That's how she pronounces that, actually.
So for any listeners who are under a rock, under a bunch of pebbles, living in a tree with the fairies, give us a recap.
Who, me?
Little old me?
Little old me, sure. Okay, so what you need to know is the news of the day is that Alec Baldwin's wife, Hilaria Baldwin, she is a mommy influencer, which is one of my favorite types of influencers to look at. She is
ejecting kids like a VCR. They just keep coming out.
Yeah, she has 5 Baldwinitos, as she calls them, which means little Baldwins in Spanish. And she does like yoga in her underwear.
Have you seen the picture of her doing a backbend on her stove?
I haven't seen that, but I was looking yesterday and I saw that she posted this thing that I'm obsessed with. It's actually a video of her holding up her shirt and showing her belly button piercing. On the video, it's typed in words. The most important part of this video isn't the whole how recently I had a baby thing, because her stomach looks really flat in the video.
Yes.
The most important part of this video isn't the whole how recently I had a baby thing and whether you think I'm to this or to that. It's not about my underwear and it's not about my skin or the fact that I'm exhausted and have no interest in makeup, ... It's about the fact that I lay on my back while my friend shoved my belly piercing back in while I clenched my teeth, crying laughing emoji, ... So 90s question mark? Caption, the pain and the sparkle. What?
That's A, horrifying, B, weird. Also, why do I have to act like you're brave because you got a belly button pierced?
Well, so it's interesting because Tracy Morrissey, who is the woman who started looking into Hilaria Baldwin's fake Spanish accent, which is the whole story, when she posted about it, one of her first slides said something like, I don't trust any woman who loves being pregnant or like constantly promotes like how they lost their baby weight. And Hilaria Baldwin's whole like thing is like she knows how to lose her baby weight really fast and she has like a kid every month. And so what happened was that I think from what I understand, what happened was Amy Schumer, she reposted a photo that Hilaria Baldwin had posted of herself holding her baby in nothing but lingerie and a cropped like shirt. So Amy Schumer like reposted that and captioned it like me hanging out with my son or something, which I thought was hilarious.
Like Amy was poking fun at herself. I thought we all got that because Amy had infamously a really hard pregnancy that she captured via documentary and posted about it. So it was no secret that Amy had a really hard time being pregnant. I thought she was being self-deprecating and comparing herself to Hilaria Baldwin, who gets pregnant like riding a bike.
I know. So yeah, so I thought that was funny, but Hilaria took issue with it and recorded a video.
In my opinion, for attention.
Yeah, I mean, fair to say, in your opinion, for attention, as she posted a video of her belly button piercing and wrote an entire thing about how it's not about how skinny she is, it's not about how amazing she is as a mom, but it's about how
it's
she
about gritting my teeth while my friend stabs me in the stomach.
The pain and the sparkle. So I saw this happen. I was like, this is fucking weird. And I was like, this woman is fucking so weird. Like, I always see her on my Discover page, of course, because I'm always looking at weird influencers.
Mommy
and
influencers.
Come up. I'm always looking at mommy influencers and like just weird people. I went down a whole spiral with like influencers who believe in QAnon. So I like get all these weird discoveries. My algorithm is really the most
disturbing.
Garbage piece of shit trash that's ever been like seen, and it's so upsetting. And it's constantly, by the way, like constantly my Discover page is just like people, like pictures of people who are engaged. So I just see like hands with the ring, and it's all like reality show people. And a lot of times I'll be like, who is that? Oh, the girl from Teen Mom 2, Teen Mom OG season 2. Okay, cool, she got engaged, great. So that's a little bit of my life. Anyway, so
my
I
sparkle
always
and pain.
That's a little bit of my pain and my sparkle. So I always see Hilaria. And so the point being, she presents herself as Spanish. I feel that's extremely fair to say. She uses an accent. She calls her kids Baldwinitos. She often posts like purely in Spanish. And like I said, uses an accent.
Alec Baldwin on the Letterman show was like, my wife is Spanish.
Yeah, he's like, okay, so my wife's from Spain. Okay, next thing. And then there was another video that was funny that was like Jeff Ross at the roast of Alec Baldwin said, like, your wife is an immigrant and blah, blah, blah. And Alec Baldwin's like, mm-hmm, like smiling, nodding, like, okay, no. First, someone tweeted about, quote, Hilaria Baldwin's decades-long grift of pretending to be a Spanish person. And then Tracy Morrissey on Instagram stories was like, I'm going to look into this. And then she started, as she often does, like posting all this evidence as to the truth of Hilaria Baldwin's descent, which is that she is Hillary Thomas from Boston, which I saw that and I was like, okay, I couldn't be happier. This is a gift. I will be watching every slide. More slides, the better. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow.
Can you explain? Can you recount the cucumber video?
Yes. So she has basically said like various things like about her background. She said she's from Spain. She said she's actually from Boston, but she like basically grew up in Spain, even though she was born in Boston. She said she's from Mallorca. Her family is from Mallorca. She has family members from Mallorca.
Her parents couldn't pronounce her last name, Baldwin.
Exactly. And she also said that her like all of her family members came from Spain to go to her wedding, like all this stuff. So basically, Tracy Morrissey is posting these videos of her parents who could not be whiter, like so white, like my family white.
And by the way, Devin's family is strictly from Boston.
Strictly from
Boston redheads.
I mean, it's like my mom is 80% Irish and my dad is 100% Irish. So her parents are like talking about being professors in Boston at various like universities or something, whatever. I'm paraphrasing. They do like rich white people things in Boston, and they have for many years. And Tracy Morrissey is finding evidence that like they just recently retired and moved to Spain, but they lived in Boston for the entirety of time before that. And then she starts showing videos of Hilaria, born Hillary.
Origin Hillary.
FKA Hillary, AKA Hilaria, doing, you know, interviews and stuff where she uses an accent and says she's from Spain. So basically there's a video of her, I think it's on the Today Show. She's doing some kind of mommy influencer cooking, like, instructional video. And she says, and then you put a little of the, this is a British accent, sorry, by the way. I'm not Meryl Streep. She's like, you put a little, how you say in English, cucumber? And the woman from the Today Show is like, yes, it's cucumber. And she's like, ah, okay.
And you are living the American dream. Thank you so much for your presence.
So that is Hillary Thomas from Boston speaking. So there's been like a couple people who've come forward. There was a neighbor who grew up next to Hilaria who came forward and was like, basically, not only is Hillary Thomas from Boston, she's from Beacon Hill, which is like the used to be not a fancy part of Boston, but now is like the richest, fanciest part of Boston. She grew up in like a luxury townhouse. She's very wealthy and she is from Massachusetts. So then Hilaria came forward with a response video on Instagram. So this is my actual favorite thing because she, first of all, like you can tell she loves it. Like she's like, okay, like I'm gonna have to address my fans on this one. And I'm like, she is loving it. And I'm sure Alec, who I'm sorry, but like his soul must just be
itching,
like, empty yeah. and dusty because he is taking care of 5 children at age like 70. I mean, I don't know how old he is, but like he looks like he's 70 and he's raising 5 kids. And that is crazy. That is crazy. They have 5 children in Manhattan. That no one is rich enough to do that. That is fucking crazy. But that is what they do. So I'm just like, the fact that he even walks.
He's 62.
The fact that at 62 he raises 5 kids in Manhattan and can still like walk from room to room is just shocking. So I'm sure he was like, just don't address it. And she was like, I'm going to just be in the laundry room. And then she was like, okay, guys.
How do you say?
How do you say public apology? But it wasn't an apology. She was like, okay, so I have not been confusing at all about my heritage. I am a white girl. Yes, I am a white girl. I'm white, but I'm also from many ethnicities, which amazing. I was like, just mistake number one is adding a but also to I'm white. Just no. So she basically said like, first of all, she said, like, Europe has a lot of white people in it. So just because I'm white doesn't mean I'm not Spanish. She didn't give a direct answer. She was like, but I have a lot of backgrounds. I'm come from a lot of cultures. And America is a place where, like, a lot of cultures can be at once. That doesn't really apply to people, by the way. It just applies to the fact that America was, you know, built on immigration and people came from different countries here. So she was like, I know I'm from Boston. That's the first thing I said to my husband is that I'm from Boston. And which apparently that's been like teased out to. Apparently she was at a party and Alec Baldwin was like, who are you? I must know you. I must get to know you or something. And she said, I'm Hillary and I'm from Boston. And then she like kept walking, which no.
My wife is Spanish.
Yeah, so then why did he say Spanish? It's just like nothing's checking out. And she did like an interview with the New York Times. And
I only skimmed that interview, but my favorite part was to her being like, you know, what I've found is important is boundaries. And I'm like, again, this does not apply. Like,
well, also, it's like, okay, but you actually put your children on a platform.
Blast.
So I am obsessed with the idea of just white girls trying to be interesting at all costs. Haven't you met white girls in your life who clearly made up the pronunciation of their name and you're like, no, your name is actually Emily? And
I think we both know that I have.
Like, it's an actual thing that happens where it's
the
like,
problem.
Actually, your name is Heather. And you have decided to change it slightly to Ether. And I don't understand that. Like, why? Or your name is like Anna. And why are you saying it's Anya? Like,
well, so my name is famously Carolina. And once in a while, people call me Carolina. And I don't correct them mainly because I don't like, I'm so afraid of confrontation that I feel like it's high maintenance to say, no, it's Carolina. Someone called me Caroline for a whole podcast episode and I never corrected them because I was too nervous.
A lot of people do that, which is so funny because it's a state. It's like that Carolina is the common pronunciation, but whatever.
But in any case, they'll say Carolina and I'll just ignore it. And once in a while they say, oh, I'm so sorry. Is it Carolina? And I say, yeah, but I like Carolina too. And I do, but I would never tell people my name is Carolina. Obviously, right. I like Carolina, except for the fact that, like Devin, I too am so white that I literally would blend in with like white sand on a beach. Like you would have to try to figure me out.
Same.
And I obviously am not a Carolina. So I think, yeah, I think a lot of white girls want to add something that makes them less homogenous to white culture because it's famously the one that lacks the most, I don't know, nuance and ingenuity.
I get it. I get that it can be uncomfortable to like reckon with your privilege and realize I have it so much easier than other people. And my story isn't that interesting because of that. And like, it isn't going to be as, you know, my history is not going to be like as storied and complicated.
Yes. The attention might not be on me all the time. I might not be the most important story in the room.
Right. Because like, I just haven't had to struggle. And I get that that's uncomfortable. And so that's to me where a lot of times it seems like it comes from is, well, I have to have a struggle. I need to have a struggle, especially in a time when everyone on social media, you know, I feel like is drawn to like try to, I guess, seek attention for a struggle. And I don't know, but I don't know where it comes from.
Shout out to our Munchausen's follows that I know you're obsessed with too.
Right. Like that. Yeah. But so just be basic and be like, yeah, like I'm, you know, I'm white. My name's Hillary. I'm from Boston. And you know what?
My name's Madison.
I married Alec Baldwin. That's really interesting. How about just that?
Like someone married a crazy person who's admittedly insane. Yeah.
Wait, was it Matt Rogers who tweeted like, is it not a red flag to be married to Alec Baldwin? Like that in itself, that's going to be a struggle. That's going to be complicated. Just have that be your story. And just say, everyone has a story and this is mine. I'm married to a crazy person whose Trump impression is not that good, but everybody celebrates it anyway. And I have 5 kids in Manhattan and it's really hard. You don't have to turn it into fucking, I am Hilaria from España. And
she called the cucumber line a brain fart. She's like, oh, yeah, you know, like, just a brain fart where you don't speak English and it's your second language.
She was like, I literally forgot the word. And it's like, okay, but you said how you say in English. I forget words all the time. I'm like, wait, okay, I'm trying to do this crossword and like, this is really hard. What's the answer to this? I'm not like, how do you say in English?
Is it potato or tomato, that red one?
It's just like, oh my God, yes. Like, but anyway, it makes me so happy. And like the night that I found out, I was just, as they say on Love Island, I was buzzing. I was so happy. I was smiling ear to ear. I told my mom about it immediately. And I couldn't stop thinking about it, talking about it, just living it. And I hope that we will get another like thing like this. Like, I hope more people get found out for their fake accents coming soon.
Yes.
So I don't like people who are obsessed with losing baby weight. And
I understand our culture's pressure and our culture's obsession with it. But I think it is weird when it's like, you're down to a size 2 and it only took you 2 months. Congratulations. I think it should be more like, wow, are you okay? That sounds like way too much.
Right.
But on that note,
we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with our lovely guests on True Romance.
I want true romance.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Welcome back to True Romance. Let's get to the guests for today. Listeners, we have a gift for you today. We are joined by the women of the all-black female comedy troupe, Obama's Other Daughters, Ashley Holston, Mameya Aforo, Shakira Janae Pei, and Yasmin Monet Watkins. You may know them from their recently launched podcast, You Down, which is a literal production of Shondaland. You Dreams. Heard that correctly. And iHeartRadio. They also write, produce, and star in their own Comedy Central digital series titled Obama's Other Daughters. Please welcome Obama's Other Daughters.
Yeah.
Guys, I did it. My voice was shaking, but I did it.
You did.
Your
great.
Use of literal was really heartwarming.
Shondaland of it all, we can't really get over it.
I just never thought that I would interact with a member of the Shondaland universe.
Low-key, you and us both.
Yeah, we literally.
I was like, Shonda Rhimes? Like, oh, yes. 100%.
What was it like to get that phone call?
It was an email. It was shocking.
Yeah. It was also like a breath of fresh air because we were like, well, we had just been disrespected on a high key.
We sure did.
From a different podcast company. I will not name.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They basically wanted us to pay them.
I almost forgot about
that.
What?
They almost wanted us to pay them.
And I mean, essentially.
Excuse us. And then there was one who we weren't all digging, and we were like, maybe we'll go with these folks because we haven't, met our match. And then Shondaland came through, and we were like, yes.
Like a superhero.
It's a weird decision, but we think we're going to go with Shondaland.
That is the best revenge ever to those really motherfuckers who were just not aware of how lucky they were. Mm-hmm.
But first, we wanted to quickly, I'm sure you get asked this question all the time, but what is the origin of Obama's Other Daughters? How did you all meet?
Originally, we were all at the UCB, Upright Citizens Brigade, trying to find some other black girls that wanted to do improv.
Yeah.
Someone put out a Facebook post. We met up and slowly built this group.
This is Yaz, which I feel like there's so many of us. So like just Hear our voices. That was Ashley that just
spoke. Yeah, I was just thinking that maybe we should do that.
Yeah. But this is Yaz. And I know for me, like, I was this close to, like, being like, you know what? Maybe improv isn't for me. Like, it's not that much fun. And we started playing together. And I was just like, oh, this is, like, this is what it was supposed to be all along. And, like, it's been such a fun journey with Ashley and Shakira and Mamiya. Like, just having... I don't like performing at colleges and universities and like doing, I mean, even in the pandemic, we were like, are we doing sketches with Kevin Hart? Like, what is life in a pandemic? And then we sold the podcast, and like the Comedy Central of it all was just, it's been a wild ride.
It definitely has been a wild ride. And especially the aspect of like, we all came together at different times. And when I found this group, it seemed just the same way we're saying, like, it seemed like something out of a fairy book, like Black women don't do improv. I came from the Groundlings, so I know Will is one of their main guys. Yeah. And it's just not, they were never going to put me in the main company.
Yeah.
But I had no idea about that.
Are we talking about Will Ferrell? You know?
Farrell.
He's my boss.
Farrell.
I know. Which Will
Ferrell. Literally, Farrell. Anchorman.
I'm going to start calling him Will Ferrell, but, and I think he'll love it.
Because, well, we said Will on our first name basis, and I was like, oh, wait, mommy, have you?
I ran into him once at a grocery store, but I think we're on first
name. Okay, our very first meeting at our agency, when they were like, telling us, hi, for the first time, he was in the lobby, and we took that as like some sort of kismet. And we were like staring at him. So he definitely has seen. Will, remember those four black girls in the lobby of
UTA? We're trying not to look at you, but we're looking at you, and you definitely.
That was us.
So sweet. I love that.
Well, one video that we watched that we're obsessed with is the music video for the song Short Kings,
which, by the way, is just a good song on its own. Like, I think it's hilarious as a parody, but it's also just a really good song. Like, I had it stuck in my head.
That's another reason I was like, wait, how do they have such good chemistry?
I feel like we really got into character for that one. If you saw us, like, not only in the recording booth, Yasmin wore a straight hair wig and we knew what we were going to be into for the actual shoot day. But we all kind of transformed that the day of, like, when we had our nails done. And we did. We were like a little stank, but it was like good.
We weren't drinking tequila all day long.
I know, right? We were very professional.
Mike Free produced the track, and he's done like all these amazing other things. And we were like, this is real life. Like, we get to like party in a fucking mansion. And just like,
well, that's the thing. I was also, I don't even go out that much, but watching the video, and during this pandemic time, I was like, I want to be like at a party.
I know.
Go to the club. I have like false memories now. I'm like, I used to go out like that.
Oh, yeah. The jacuzzi. Oh,
yeah. Yep.
That was me.
But it was also spoke, obviously, to this real thing where, and I feel like it comes mostly from men. And I always talk about this because I'm 5'11 and truly 5'11 and 3/4. So let's
I'm 6'1.
5'12.
Oh.
And I feel like I was self-conscious about that for so long. And like the worst is when your parents are like, you're going to love your height one day. And also because I had a crush on like short boys all the time. And I still do sometimes. And I was always like, I'm in if you're in. You know, like I don't care about this. But the guys always had a problem except for a rare, amazing few.
But when it's it's so hot.
It's so hot.
I love tall. I tell Ashley that I love the look of a short guy.
It is so so like taboo. For you don't see it in the media. I was telling the girls about this. There was a movie poster where one of the lead actresses was as tall as the lead actor, and they like clearly moved her to be shorter than him.
The Lovebirds. You were just talking about. Yes, I was just listening to that episode.
I mean, women are exploited through hip hop and rap all the time for our bodies and our physical attributes. Mm-hmm. And it was literally flipping that notion on the head.
Right.
That, like, no, really we funny. Like a short king. He's a short king.
Yeah. Look at him calves.
Right. Strings. Yeah. I was literally in my head while listening to it listing like short guys with tall women that I liked. Like, Sam Rockwell is married to like a 6 foot tall model. And
Pharrell.
The Jonas Brothers. Pharrell. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
The Jonas Brothers literally never thought about them. I was too old when that group came up. But when they like hooked up with Priyanka and what's her name from Game of Thrones,
yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
okay, I think this is like, this speaks highly of you. Yeah. And then Kevin Hart, I mean, speaking of Kevin Hart, his wife is like one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in real life. But it's also great because Kevin makes fun of his height all the time, which I feel like guys who are insecure. I've met some guys who are insecure who I feel like already don't like me because when I hug them, I like inhale them.
It's all armpit.
It's yeah.
Have you had it where a guy tried to tell you that he was taller than he was and then tried to make you then taller because you, well, you must be about like 6'5 or something because I know I'm 6 foot.
No, you're not.
They're human like, ruler. Legally, are you a giant? Because I'm 8 feet tall.
What about the guys who put on their, we've talked about this before, I think, but on their dating app bios, they'll put like, I'm 5'11 if you care about that aggressively. Like, I guess if you care.
But I'm actually 5'3 when you meet me in person.
And also, you know you care. You know you care. You know if I stand up and I tower over you.
Sounds like it's really important to you in your life, but not to me.
Oh, no. That sounds like a fuckboy to me.
Well, I know. Okay. I'm sure I like went out with them anyway if they match me.
You gotta take what you get these days.
You see all the red flags and you're like, that's for me.
That's the worst too, when you want to be like, and you know what? I didn't even like you that much, but it's been a hard year. So come on. Like,
I know.
I was rooting for us. Like, because I feel like we do make excuse. I'll speak for myself. I used to a lot of times like see red flags and completely ignore them and then be confused why the shit blew up in my face.
Broke your own heart.
Yeah. Ooh. Like this person is not the man for you.
Mm-hmm. Or when you explain to a friend, like you explain out of it, it's like, so he has this thing and I know that it's not always going to be like this. He hasn't said that it's not always going to be like this, but like, I feel that it's really like, he does this one thing and we really match on that. Like, it's like, girl.
I remember going out to like having a double date lunch with a friend of mine and her boyfriend. And I brought my boyfriend, who I can only describe at the time as like a very dark, moody, borderline goth person. And they were like, and what do you do? And he was like, right now I don't do anything. Stop. And just left it at that. And I was like, anyway.
The awkward cover-up laugh. Be like, I know this is wrong, but I came with him.
He just talks. We don't, anyway.
Oh, man.
Oh. Listen, it happens to the best of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all do it.
On your episode, Getting Raw on Dating with Francesca Hoagie, Francesca quoted Maya Angelou when she said, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Which believe just them. Like, when she said that, I think I've heard it before, but for some reason, I just like sat on my couch and just stared at the wall for like 5 minutes and was like, oh my God, yes, that is what it is. Like, that's what happens is that someone shows me who they are. And I mean like work relationships and friend relationships, but also obviously romantic relationships in the past. Like, I just talk myself out of it. And I'm like, but I still want to believe in the idea though. Like, I still want to hold on to that. Maybe this can be something. But it's so true that it always goes back to like, yep, the first time I just didn't listen. And then it just repeated and repeated.
It's like, at least you get the lesson, but it's hard for me not to beat myself up when I'm like, I knew the exact moment when I knew what I should have been doing and what was right and what was wrong. But I wanted to pretend or something was easier to be with the person.
When he's like, you're so cool and I love sleeping with you, but I'm really not looking for a relationship like you are right now. And you convince yourself that it will change eventually. Yeah, right. Like, we're magicians. Like, I saw a friend post, like, you can't change a fuckboy. Like, people think they're a magician and, like, they're going to be the woman or man or whoever to, like, change this person's behavior. Like, no.
They're going to be the one that get played.
Exactly. Like
exactly. Yeah, no, I think that's so true. It's also what Francesca talked about in that episode, that we are drawn to a lot of times the wrong things because of stuff in our past. That magic in a bottle feeling she was talking about, or lightning in a bottle, I think she said, that sexual chemistry.
Mm.
Sometimes that's just adrenaline of like, yeah, I don't feel safe.
That chemistry is leading you astray.
Right. Right. Like, maybe that's
your
it.
Pussy
actually
should setting you up for
I
this
feel show. Like in LA, when you meet someone who like you're vibing with, you're like, oh my God, a person in the city,
yes,
that
right.
I vibe with. And that is like a day later, you might find out the truth, or, you know, a year later. But it's exciting to think that. But I've taken that to heed, or heeded that since she said it, that like that actually might be a red flag, not a green light to keep going.
Right. I love that you mentioned LA also, just because I feel like, and I wonder what your experiences have been as funny women, but I've met, if it sounds weird, like fuckboys who I initially thought were so funny and we like got along so well just on a friend basis. And then it became a thing where I was like, you think I'm hysterical? I think you're hysterical. Like, we're both attractive. Like, we should be together. And they are like, oh, no, I want to go for, like, this Instagram, like, influencer model who's, like, selling avocados on her feed. And I'm always like, wait, but we damn connected. Those... But this
I know.
Is, like...
That's the worst is the connection. Because if I can have, like, a funny back and forth banter with you, then I'm invested now.
So invested.
Because damn, it's so rare.
Avocados.
I know. It's also, like, when you're swiping so much and actually doing the online dating, like, when I was... online dating, my friend told me to like treat it like a job. She's like, if you want to meet someone, you have to treat it like a job. You have to go on 3 dates a week and you have to do this.
Oh, Lord.
So I was like, okay, I know. I was like, my job is really stressful and I work crazy hours, but I guess I'll make time. And then I was going on all these dates, and it is wow. so rare to actually find someone that you can have good banter with. So then when that happened, like the smallest spark, I was like, okay, this is going to be the thing. This is it. This is going to be the thing.
It's got to work. It's got to work.
Yeah.
It's got to work. And then they're like, well, I don't really have a home right now, which happened twice. And I was
oh my God.
Well, listen, not everyone can have it all.
Oh. Yasmin, you told a story on your podcast about living with a friend and then ending up dating them. And we've actually recently had two fans write in about that. And what do you have advice on that situation and how to sort of navigate it?
It's tough. So my ex-girlfriend and I, we were roommates at first and then we lived together and it was great. The 2 years that we were dating, what fun. You wake up, you get to say hi to them. You're like, what's going on? And then, and then you break up.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I guess I'm going to go sleep in my friend's, at my friend's place, and they have no room in their studio. So this is, it gets real sad real quick. I would say don't do it.
Yeah.
But then the good times do outweigh, you know, the months
right.
of, you know, having nowhere to live.
I remember breaking up with a guy in New York who was great. And it was one of those things where afterwards I was like, wait, why did I break up with him? And I was also moving from couch to couch until I found a place, like carrying, at the time I had a banjo that I was carrying around. So I was like, this feels like a
literal
low
sad
point.
Banjo.
Yeah.
Wait, why did you have a banjo?
Right. I literally could not tell you. I got it when I was 16. There I was at age 22, still carrying it around. Had not played it since I was 17. I kept on holding on to it. It's like, I think this will be a part of my personality someday. And yet,
I let those things go.
Yeah. I just sold it like last year in a parking lot, and it was amazing.
In a parking
lot. Oh no, I was like, okay, in a parking lot. I don't think it's gonna happen. So we need to like let go of this dream.
That makes me really sad because I have a guitar in the corner that like a decade ago, I was like, I'm gonna learn how to play the guitar. Actually, how my husband got me, or not got me, but we started hanging out because he was gonna teach me how to play the guitar.
Oh, that's sexy. He French ass teaching you how to play the guitar.
French singing ass.
And he was
beautiful hair having
the guitar was a wreck. But the guitar is in the corner and I have not played it. And
he said, we done with that phase. We don't need to do that.
I got you. Yeah, exactly. I was going to ask, do you think that was sort of just like a setup in terms of on either of your parts being like, yeah, I would. No, not for you.
Did the songs peter out? Yes. I was shaking my head, just like, oh,
Did he reach his arms around you and play over your head?
Oh my gosh. Oh my God, like Ghost.
You know? No.
Well, let me have that for you. Okay.
I need to add that to my bucket list. Like, wrap your hands around me and play, strum the guitar.
The idea of someone singing to me is beautiful, but in practice, I feel like I would just feel so weird.
Like, what if it was like Imagine Dragons?
Oh, God.
I mean, if it was someone who...
Even
lightning
on your birthday
and the thunder.
When everybody's singing,
lightning and the thunder. I saw someone get serenaded at karaoke once at like 2 a.m. and I was there with coworkers, and my coworker was like, I think this guy is, oh no, he's serenading. And then he started singing to this girl, and it was so awkward. And she was like, thanks.
Was he good?
No, it was bad, and it was like a really intense song, and it seemed like they weren't like together that long. Like, it just was not. It was upsetting.
Cringy. He's like, come to my show.
Yeah. That's another specific thing. Have you guys ever dated anyone in the improv scene? You're like, I don't want to talk about it.
Like, I would say not dated, but I'd say, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do the kids say?
I mean, I've had to let it, hang out.
We all were looking at you, Shakira.
Why me? Everybody has hung out with improv. I mean, I was in like a non-relationship situationship with like a few improvisers. I want to be like,
Because
we just meet at Birds and then we get drinks and then we're like hanging out and we're doing bits and we're all so funny, but it's really just so stupid. And then we just keep this.
It's also fun to catch your friend out being like, hey, what you doing at this show?
Yeah.
Who you support here?
There's like 5 people in the audience for like a guys group.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Hold on. You know, I'm calling myself out on that one because I was definitely at like a 12 a.m. show for a girl. And people were definitely like, what are you doing here?
I hate that. I hate it when that happens.
Oh, especially those late shows because the audience is
because you have no
there,
reason to run.
Right? Unless it's like the, you know, that weed show or Drag Race. Every other show at midnight, nobody was there. And you just be there looking like a clown.
Looking like you're in line.
One tear running through your clown makeup in the audience. Right?
But yeah, you know what? I don't even know if I think of like the UCB boys that I dated as fuck boys, more so just like man children. Like, literally, they just haven't grown up and they're just like hanging out and they can't commit to anything. And they like, I mean, I'm hanging out there too. So what am I?
Very quickly, the one improv guy that I talked to, first of all, I didn't realize how old this man was because he does not look it. And he's gallivanting around dressed like a cool little millennial. Like, you are old.
That part.
And you're
41.
And he's like Supreme.
Nothing wrong with a roommate, but you have a roommate or more than one and you, it's just not going to work because you're asking me about jokes now and like, what?
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, and not to mention, the 30, I mean, not even 30, but like sometimes it'll be so
40.
Much older and like, but don't want to be in a relationship because they're just like hanging out.
What Shakira described, non-committal, I don't want to, that feels like a fuckboy to me.
Yeah.
It feels like, you're a man child, but aren't most fuckboys?
Man children?
Yes.
I also want to throw in some advice. Don't hook up with somebody that you're still on the same team with. You still have 8 months.
You have done some research on that?
Because once y'all stop hooking up, and it's just the fuckboy at his, you know what I mean?
And it's like, someone had warned her.
I know. Oh, if only someone had warned me, like, the last 4 months of this team, it's going to suck being on a team with this person.
Did you have that little improv girl fantasy, though, of having an improv boyfriend? Because I used to be like, imagine a funny guy who we could write jokes together in bed.
Is it two prov?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was always, like, searching, like whenever I had a class or anything, I was like, okay, is there like a cute guy around here? I mean, I was also single in New York, which is his own kind of hell, different than LA, but similar in that there's like winter's coming and you need another physical body to like warm you. And I do think a lot of them were fuckboys.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, according to Urban Dictionary, fuckboys are boys, not men. They do whatever they want, whenever they want, and don't care who they screw over while doing it. They lead girls on to believe that they are special and they really care about you when they turn into horny douchebags that do whatever they can to get laid. Or yeah, even
somebody
just
got
big
hurt.
Fuckboys are shallow dickheads. Warning, don't fall for a fuckboy because he will screw you over. Once a fuckboy, always a fuckboy.
Oh. I'm sorry he hurt you, girl.
Written by Carolina Barlow.
I was having a bad day when I wrote that.
When you were saying you used to search in your classes, I had this class at the Groundlings and I did a scene with a guy. I thought he was cute. He was like hot Jewish looking. And I was like, oh, maybe we would make really cute kids. Why does your brain go there, Mamiya? Shut up. But anyway,
no,
so we do a scene together and he like berated me in the scene and to the point that the teacher after pulled him aside, like that was not improv. Like you were just yelling at a small black woman and towering over her on stage. And after class, he came up and was like, hey, I'm really sorry. Why did I like take that as an opportunity to ask if he would like to get coffee sometime. Oh, this is the old me.
No, I guess it's the old me.
We all have those stories.
I was like, you're talking to me? This is my...
You're going to ask a family with him.
Right. Listen, while you're at it for apologizing.
Right?
Would you be willing to make it up in another way? Yes. No. Yeah, I think most men... if they're funny, they can just get away with everything else. Like, it's just like, he's so funny, and that's all he has to be. And he'll be really successful, and he'll get whatever he wants in his career, and he'll date whoever he wants, because everyone will think he's so funny, and he can, like, schmooze
around. But also, like, you know, be careful, because if you're so much funnier than him, like, he's uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta create a safe space for him.
Don't make him uncomfortable. Yeah.
It's like,
if there's one thing that, like, will never I will never stop being funny for a man. Like, you're going to have to be intimidated, bro, because it's just, it's a lot. I need this for my life.
And the idea of, like, I feel like a lot of times I've been perceived as, like, too much from guys. Like, whoa, that joke was, like, too, like, raunchy or, like.
Like, I went too far, but you were over there talking about your dick.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Because girls shouldn't talk
Let
like
me joke
that.
About my clit and peas.
Women's rights.
It's women's rights.
Right.
I wanted to ask you guys what your worst fuckboy experiences have been, which some of you have already shared some very enlightening ones for our listeners.
And fuck girl.
So,
I
know.
Right? Yes, I'm looking at you.
Fuck girls are. Don't you look at me. I am
no,
not a
I'm
fuck
gonna
girl.
You are
oh
one.
My God.
No, wait now.
Your Honor.
I think we all have a little fuck girl in us, especially you guys.
Yeah.
No.
How dare.
No, Yaz and I have talked about this. No, come on. You know, we both have a little tendency. A little bit.
Yaz is like trying to climb over her couch.
Right? Yeah,
there's a wall.
She's trying to escape. We can edit right this now. Part out if you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
No, it's fine because I am safe in my truth that I am not a fuck
just
girl.
Just a little bit, yes. We both are. You are curious too,
a little bit.
Mommy. I don't think that you are.
I think the difference is that you communicate openly and honestly with.
That's
all
why
your
I said
partners.
A little bit.
What's
That's
happening?
Why I said a little bit because like not, there's some miscommunication.
But it's fuckboy
sometimes.
If you don't.
Sometimes it's not intentional fuckboyness.
This seems very specific.
It's unconscious.
Carolina and
it's
Devin are like.
No, I'm fascinated because I do think. What's the difference? I think you kind of hit it where it's like, okay, so you can date casually. You don't have to settle down with anyone that you have a connection with. And I feel like I forget that a lot in terms of like now being single again. I keep thinking like, okay, I don't have to wait for a next relationship. Like I can have like just a good experience with someone. Mm-hmm. But like what's the difference between just like meeting a lot of people you connect with versus like being a fuckboy who's like, I don't know, like. What's your name again, sweetheart?
It was dark when we met.
Yeah, it was so dark.
Yeah.
You introduce them to other people by being like, this is my friend Devin, and Devin, why don't you introduce yourself to Devin?
And then they're like, oh, what's your name? And then they look at you and you're like, friend, you betrayed me. No, okay, so the difference is that, you know, and I think especially for those who are navigating the space of polyamory,
yeah.
Like, you have to communicate so much through the process that you have to, like, communication is so key. So if there's no communication, then you can be betrayed and you are in the fuckboy category. But if there's communication of this is what it is.
I call it deception when there's no communication. Because if you, I mean, if you know that somebody wants to be in a monogamous relationship and you know that you don't, and then you continue to lead them on, yes, and are doing other things and they think that you aren't, that is deception. And that's when I think it's a problem.
Deceptive.
But if you are yes, both open to that and, like you said, communicate like what it is, that's a completely different situation.
No fuck boys.
Fuck boy free.
Ashley, don't look at me.
Hey,
like that.
Hey, you have to live with yourself. I'm not making any faces to make you feel any kind of way. I think you're a great person, yeah. Fuck boy or not.
Your mama. Your mom is a really great person. I really like that.
No, we'll handle this after this podcast. We don't do your mama.
Can we talk to you for a second?
Yeah, can we talk for a second?
That would always.
We can do a breakout room on the Zoom. We can do a little breakout room.
Who do you guys think are some of the worst fictional and reality TV fuckboys we have seen?
Oh. Ooh.
Apollo from Real Housewives of Atlanta.
100%. Yes.
But his wife is also
crazy. Yeah.
That
was Phaedra's yes, husband, you mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That was.
Get away from me, Apollo!
Sinister. Sinister, the garage.
Yeah, because she, okay, context. Some believe that this woman, he just got out of jail. She had a baby not too long after. The timeline of when the baby was in her womb is a little spotty and doesn't add up.
Yes.
So then they were married for 2 years and he was racketeering and whatever got him in jail the first time. So, like, she was really embarrassed because she tries to present as the perfect Southern Belle and talk shit about every other person. And it blew up in her face.
Mm-hmm. I was also thinking of, like, in the Keeping Up world, like, both Scott Disick and Tristan Thompson have, like, Scott Disick's, like, dating teenagers. And Tristan Thompson is, like, we've given him so many chances.
But he is so good looking.
Tristan or Scott?
Tristan.
Scott looks like a mobster.
I don't know why he keeps trying to get in monogamous relationships with Chloe. Like, clearly he can't commit. And I'm like, let's just be honest right, with what we need and our wants and our desires and who we are. And he is not able to do that. And she's not able to call him out on it and, like, be real because he gonna cheat again.
Yeah.
Like, we all know it. We're just waiting for it to be like, oh, he's cheating.
It's a pathology.
It's like, I don't know. I mean, even with, like, Offset and Cardi B, I'd be like,
oh, no. Devin
that's
has
sad to watch. Yeah. It's kind of sad. But she loves it.
It upsets me.
No, but also, Cardi don't get run over, though. Like, she has words with this man.
She's
and
okay
she's
with
like,
it, I guess.
Like,
yeah,
somebody was like, he's emotionally abusing you. She said, Cardi is crazy. Just, like, screaming, like,
what she said.
Y'all use all this big shit, like, this is emotional abuse. I let this know how I feel and, like, but, you know, like, she basically is saying, like, I'm not emotionally abused. We both fucking crazy. And I let this nigga know. So it ain't nothing for y'all to, like, she tweeted this.
She's
long,
like, I'm
rant
good.
On, like, I'm not being emotionally abused. We both abuse each other equally. And I know he's crazy, but
women's
I
rights
am crazy women's too. Rights. And don't feel bad for me. Worry about yourself.
Well, I wonder, do we consider Jay-Z a fuckboy?
I do.
Really?
Devin keeps on saying she will not forgive him.
The elevator?
The
elevator.
I can't get past it.
What?
It really upsets me, but one of my coworkers, my former coworkers, actually blessed me once with this theory because I was upset that they were doing another On the Run tour and I was like, why is she doing this? Like, I don't want to see them together. Like, I don't want to see them together in concert. And this coworker's theory was that Beyonce does the On the Run tours to make him look bad because in the concerts, it's her doing this insane, like, number with lights that she designed and dance moves and just, like, blows your mind. Like, you can't believe you just saw that. And then he comes out and he's like, hey. And, everyone's like, oh.
In the background.
Like, I guess.
Jay in the mic.
Yeah, I mean, like.
And is that not a metaphor for what women.
I was about to say, like, because he has, like, a huge fan base. And, like, men who are diehard and go to the concert to see him. And I'm like, But he doesn't actually, he doesn't do anything.
He doesn't do anything.
Like, Beyonce is performing. But, I mean, men in general. I mean, think about female rappers versus male rappers. I mean, Megan and Cardi doing full choreography out here. And, like, Migos is walking around. Skirt, skirt.
Yes. They're rapping like literally sitting in their cars.
Yeah. And girls will dance on them in their videos, but they don't actually do anything. And then if you see them live, they're out of breath because they smoke so much weed. I'm like, the bar is so low.
Well, remember when Monster came out too? And literally I would fast forward Jay-Z's rap to get to Nicki's. Like, I was so like, oh, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. At one point he's like, what, like, what do I need? Love! And then, and then I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Question, would, and this might be sacrilege, would Martin Luther King Jr.?
Now, you went there.
Devin and I are going to turn off our mics.
Was not in any sense of the word expecting that at all.
Especially not from Yes.
Hello.
Taking down one of our heroes. But hey, I heard that there's FBI tape of him hosting some threesomes.
Yeah.
Really?
Because they were like checking, they were watching him, they were following him. They had, you know, mics in all of his hotel rooms. And, you know,
I mean, leaders of the movement need love.
Hey, he had Coretta. He had Coretta. Let's not act like that.
He had love. That wasn't love. That was
a little power hungry. Yes. That was a, hey, I'm Martin Luther. I'm MLK.
That was a Morehouse man. Just kidding. I love Morehouse.
I'm not going to lie. I probably would have been.
Yeah, you would have been right up there. Right? Mr. Activist.
Why are you shaking your chest as you're talking, Ashley?
Because I just want to know how I can help the movement.
I mean, I feel like all of those men in that era. So many.
Oh, the Kennedys?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, every single
one. I mean, even Ray Charles.
Ray Charles was good. He's a feeling they faces.
He was
fuck
good.
For
he
it.
Was doing heroin.
He was doing the wrist grab.
All kinds of.
Bill Clinton, fuck boy.
Oh my god. I remember reading this book about like the architecture of the White House, and there's a tunnel in it called the Maryland Tunnel where they'd sneak Maryland in to meet with JFK.
And I was they say that it started with JFK, but I'm pretty sure there were some other people. I want to say George Washington was sneaking some bitches through the tunnel.
Oh, yeah, he was sneaking slaves,
all kinds of people.
He had a whole slave family, right?
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Several. There's so many white presidents that did that.
Yeah.
So like every white president who ever fucked Hattie or whoever was working in the field, and you brought her in your house, and
they all
now,
very specific.
Working in the field.
Oh no!
Oh, I just finished.
She was a house gal. She was a house gal.
I know. I'm like,
I just finished.
Caroline
the,
and I were just like, careful. I'm not gonna say anything.
We're muting ourselves. I'm being like,
dangerous waters.
I just finished Per the Girls for we're talking about The Undoing, and I think Hugh Grant might also be.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, my God. Cringe worthy.
Listen.
Boy.
Also in real life.
No. He has that personality.
Yeah, he is.
He's a fuckboy in real life.
I heard. Love, my mom, actually, when we were watching, said he was reported to have been found vandalizing a bathroom in the UK or something. And then after they were like, "Why did you do it?" and he had like some really like flippant response.
He played a sociopath so daggone good that I'm like,
so well. That was the best part of that show,
right?
We believed him.
Noma, the lawyer. Was everything. The lawyer was phenomenal. She played Hermione on Broadway. I told y'all that.
I didn't know that. Oh, yes. Yeah. Wait. I saw that show.
Our friend Tess was explaining, like, Hugh Grant has 5 or 6 kids, but they're from 2 different women, and he had, like, 2 with the first woman, then 2 with the next woman, and then 2 and
the
went back with the first
kind of fuckboy. Charismatic, because he clearly was seducing these bitches.
And convincing them that they were wrong. Over and over again.
Yeah.
Could you imagine taking him back the second time and then him leaving you the second time for the same girl?
That would be brutal.
For the I'm not gonna lie. Girl. I did see my dad date a woman, I think, 6 times, spanning over the course of like multiple decades.
Wow.
Well, she was clearly on board all 6 times.
I mean,
she had the lightning in the bottle.
Yeah.
I mean, that made me think of the cook and the dinner. One cooked dinner and one ate.
So. Oh, yeah. For better or for worse, I do think, God rest his soul, my dad may have been a
that's why I said it's in your blood, yes. It's in your blood.
Oh, no, no.
I'm just joking. No.
It's a genetic trait.
I performed. Oh. I healed the generational trauma.
Yes.
Yeah, no, but my dad did have one Thanksgiving. One woman come and cook the meal, and then another one came to eat it.
And they met in the middle.
Oh, man.
Did they both what? Know they were?
They just shook hands. Were they supposed it's, to meet?
No. It's you know, the things you witness as a kid, you're like, oh, this is just normal. Totally.
No, I completely hear that. I remember, like, my dad going to work with, like, a nice woman while me and my mom and my sister were in the house. And we were like, bye, nice to meet you.
Oh, wow.
I found out years later after my parents were divorced that my dad was a fuck boy.
Yeah.
And cheated on my mom while they were dating. And my mom got revenge. She stole his car and was like, I don't know what happened to it. She was a little crazy
too.
That
is incredible revenge.
That is perfect. What is the best advice you've all received in terms of a fuckboy relationship from your friends who are sort of just like, get out of this situation? Or
they said those poems don't mean shit. And I did not believe it.
You're like, you haven't read them.
Like, I was dating this fuckboy and we would write each other poems back and forth. And I was like, mommy, wipe it from his dad.
It was
that
gut
just
too.
Seems like
now.
His tactic.
It was seriously while I was in it, I was like, oh, but like he wouldn't write these things about me if it wasn't true. Right. Or like I'd look at the poems that he would post and I'd be like, that's definitely about me. Oh. But it was about someone else.
Yeah.
I believed poems for pussies.
Wow.
There are.
That sounds like a charity. Cars for kids and
poems. Okay, say the question one more time.
Best advice. Best advice from either friends or like your parents in terms of how to deal with a fuckboy. I don't think my mom and dad have never sat me down for that conversation, but
the fuckboy
talk.
Yeah,
exactly.
There was a moment. I don't know if this answers the question. My first college boyfriend, he broke up with me and told me he was intimidated by my future. And then, so I was really sad. Oh. And my dad
but also
has,
flattered.
I know.
But I didn't become flattered for years. I thought something was wrong with me. Like, maybe I should read less. Joking, but my dad has never talked to me about any sexual anything, and he was so awkward and tried to like comfort me, but was like, you know, boys and men, so you have like it literally was gibberish, and and my mom was sitting there too, because he couldn't find the words. But thanks, Dad, for trying. I think the best advice though is like if you're confused. There's something confusing going on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, you shouldn't be like, wait, why isn't he texting me back for days or calling me back? Or, like, it doesn't seem reciprocated. There's something that is, there's a reason that it isn't reciprocated.
Mm-hmm. I saw someone Instagram, I saw some weird Instagram post from some meme account the other day that just said, if he likes you, he'll text you. And it blew my mind. I was like,
okay, but guys, sometimes they text you. Two, and then you ask them out on a date, and they don't like you. Shakira and Yasmin probably know that I was not recently, but bamboozled by a man who we went on hikes together. We texted all the time. He fed me grapes, y'all. He fed me grapes and sang in my ear.
Same as poetry to me.
And then I said, I was like, well, let's go out on a date. And he was like, you're my homie. And I was confused as hell because why are you looking me dead in my eye feeding me grapes if you don't want to make out at the very least?
The worst. Yeah. I've been in situations like that where they're literally they would literally pay for dinners.
Yes, yes, he paid. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm like really worked up because I just like did not understand it. Did not understand. I was like, I feel so. I was my the first time I understood what gaslit really meant. But I was ill equipped to deal with such a fuck boy because my dad has only told me to watch out for the flim flam man. When I moved to LA, he was like, just make sure you watch out for the flim flam man.
Okay, will you write that children's book though? What is the flim flam man?
Yes.
Or that horror movie.
No. It's like, oh,
right. It's a lot of angles.
My dad said to watch out for schleppers.
Wait, what are these? What is a flim flam? What is a schlepper? Exactly.
A schlepper is like a mover, right? Like moving is schlepping?
No, the way he described a schlepper was he said he's a man that wears a green suit and has a cigar.
And has a pot of gold under his arm.
A scar? Wait, he has a scar?
A cigar.
Oh.
In his hand. And he's like, don't be a schlepper. The poet in question, my dad, when I finally realized that he had another girlfriend and started a whole family with them, I was crying and my dad's like, what's wrong? And I was like, Dad, my heart. And I think he was just like, what? Like, is that not like karma for a fuckboy dad to like deal with, you know, the daughter that has dealt with
totally.
Heartbreak? Because of said fuckboy. Mm. And he was just taken off guard. He was like,
you should have just brought home a guy with a green suit on next.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Clearly.
Just find a guy in a green suit.
Good luck.
Get me a schlepper. And I actually do like green suits on guys. I feel like it would look good. Anyway.
Yeah, green's a great color.
Devin's wearing it right now. Devin's in her green suit.
I feel like the
guys, green is a good color.
I feel like
color.
I've only seen a man in a green suit at the VMAs. Like,
that's very accurate.
Like, I'm like, where did men wear green suits? Or like some old church in the South.
It was like Big Boy during the Andre 3000 album.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Andre 3000 wore a green suit on the Hey Ya video.
Oh, yeah.
And it looked good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a schlepper.
No.
Where is he?
Actually, what's the other one?
What is a schlepper?
Oh, yeah. Flim-flam. What's the flim flam man?
A flim flam man is a con artist. He's a guy that's going to trick you.
Oh.
Trickster.
Is it flim? So that is...
Who been there?
F-L-E-M
yeah.
Or flim P-H?
Flim. F-L-I-M.
Oh, I've been flim flam.
Yeah.
Quite
yeah.
a few times.
When my dad said it, I had to look it up, but I understood the context. I understood.
You were like, I see what you're, I'm picking up what you're putting
I have yeah. heard of this. Tell me more. I feel like I'm going to try to bring this back into the lexicon, but without explanation. So just randomly in conversation, I'm going to be like, yeah, I was tricked. I was flim-flammed. I was bamboozled.
Yeah. It's you know, it's a double F word. It's fun to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flim-flam.
Yeah. Like Firefest.
Yeah. That was a...
Ja Rule's a fuckboy for that.
And that guy.
And Billy. What's Billy?
Billy. He's a big old fuckboy.
Everyone was a fuckboy besides... Well, was anyone?
I was gonna say.
Wait, who was the one that took one for the team?
What?
No,
yes.
He was ready to be a fuckboy.
The locals who were building,
but even
it
him
were not realizing that they were.
Yeah,
about to
the
get
locals
screwed over.
Were the only non-fuckboys.
The influencers were like, "We don't know. We just went and posted." And it was like,
although right. if someone had paid me to go on some jet skis and hang out,
yeah.
would you Billy
you'd
McFarland,
you'd have been disappointed.
That's the thing. I really did not feel bad for most people in that documentary. Like the girl who paid $15,000 and then cried because she had quit her job to go on this trip. I was like, I gotta say that you might have been the one who made a mistake there.
The problem started before the Firefest, if you did that.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
People were like, I gave up my savings. Yeah, because I saw the Kendall Jenner video. And I'm like,
because Blink was playing.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more True Romance.
I want True Romance.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. you'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back to True Romance.
You all give such incredible advice on your podcast. I said you both as if two of you. No, you all give such incredible advice on your podcast. And we are wondering if you could give our listeners a piece of advice that you wish you would have taken to heart at a younger age. So if you could tell your younger self something that would have made.
Besides, watch out for the Flim Flam Man.
I feel like for, so just me, my younger self, I would say own your height and say it. Because I feel like I had a lot of good comebacks, but I didn't always say them. Specifically because I was afraid of someone calling out my, Deuce Bigelow came out and they had this line in it that was like, damn, that's a big bitch. And my big nightmare was that, because I'm 6'1", was just that someone would say that to me. So I wouldn't say a lot of my comebacks, but I had a lot of good ones. So I would say, yeah, be confident, more confident all around. Girl, you got it.
Say it. I love that advice. I wish I could still take that.
I need that. I know.
I would say don't take it personal if someone isn't into you.
Yeah.
I think I like held that for so long. Like it meant something about me that someone wanted to go have kids and move to Texas or... You know,
I hope he's listening.
Random things. Let me. I know. I'm like, oh Lord, I'm getting myself in trouble. But like, you take it so personal when someone like isn't into the thing that you're into or into you specifically, and you know, don't let that get you down because there are so many other people that like hella fuck with you, and you spend all this time looking at this door that's closed, and there are so many doors.
Don't we all that look are wide at those open. Closed doors?
Oh my God.
Ugh. It's so hard.
I'm tattooing all this on my back.
Right?
Is that what
I'm excited for the next one now because
I'm like, please consider that.
The whole quote.
Limpy.
I think I would tell myself when you sell yourself short.
Yeah.
It's sometimes you're like, oh, this person isn't exactly what I want, but he's here. And then that person ends up taking you for granted. That doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. So I think not selling myself short and not counting myself out of situations because of how I look. And, you know, I grew up in Trump country. So the fact that I didn't have a boyfriend in high school, I thought there was something wrong with me. But it's literally because my neighbors couldn't bring me home. So, yeah, I would be like, it's not you. It's the racist environment you're in. That would be the number one
There's the back quotable.
That is back quotable, except it would look like white splaining. So like,
I know. That would be walking around Silver Lake with that one.
Oh my god. Somebody has it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Someone would throw a parade for you. Don't worry.
Some white man with a shirt on that says this is what a feminist looks like does have that tattoo.
He would be like, that's really brave of you to make that statement, Carolina.
Yeah.
What about you, Shakira?
What's your advice, Kira?
I mean, I'm thinking because there are so many different things I could say to my younger self. I guess, like, don't let these fools walk all over you. And also, it's okay to be yourself and be, you know, different. And also, maybe you don't have to pick the fuckboy to be the guy that you have a crush on your whole life. But also, I don't regret anything. I do feel
That's important.
You know, but I do.
It's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time. It's like, yeah, I did have a crush on a kid who called me fat and ugly. And
me too.
I know. Yeah.
Was it Jack Pickering? No, I'm just kidding.
And I dated him in high school for a beat. And then he left me for my best friend. Awesome. Real right?
Fuckboy.
Yeah. Of course. Yep.
Down. Wow. Yep.
And he was also the pastor's son. Okay. He already knows.
Oh, extremely.
Layers.
I know.
Yeah.
Layers up to the drama.
To younger self, it's like, no. Yeah, you think he's cute? You're cute too. And don't let his little short, light-skinned, corny ass crack on you when you can be cracking on him. And also, don't be chasing this little boy. Don't chase little boys. I know, I feel like aunties say that all the time. Like, don't chase him. And all I did was chase little boys that didn't like me.
Yeah.
So I would say to younger Kara, like, no, this weird old boy likes you and why not give him a shot?
And you're a weirdo too.
Yeah.
And now he got into tech and who's laughing now?
Right. He was a skater boy. See you later, boy.
I like what you said here about just like not having to be someone else. Cause I feel like we all have gone through that. Like,
I can't be different
myself. Personalities that you think are like more appealing to guys or just to the world in general.
Yeah,
for a long time I was like I should be like Gwen Stefani Tragic Kingdom came out,
a holla back girl.
Yeah I was like, okay, I just have like abs and bleached hair,
just Gwen Stefani's abs.
That's all I need. Actually, not asking for much.
Right
No, I think I've so many times Carolina actually gave me this advice when I was younger of focusing on whether I liked the person I was dating or instead of if they liked me, because I always was like, how do I get this person to like me? How I'm so unlikable. I like don't love myself. Yeah. So who would love me? So how do I get this person like dupe them? And now I give that advice to people because I used to fall back into it too, even like more recently dating, where like on the date I would just kind of be silent and like try to think of like what's the response he would like, and then anytime I would catch myself thinking that, like, it's the wrong direction. But
well, and it's the way we're conditioned. You don't think twice about it necessarily. You're like, I just want the approval of this other person. And I think especially as like women, sometimes we're told to like mold ourselves into someone else's. What Audre Lorde says, if I believed what other people said about me, like I'd be crunched into their fantasies, right? I'm butchering that quote. But like the idea of like someone trying to define you, and like we believe that we should, you know?
Yeah.
I love something else she says,
we don't have
which is like patriarchy has no gender. So I feel like in different times in my life, like I've internalized it and been like, yeah, I should be X, Y, and Z. Like that's what that's where you're valuable. And even now, I mean, just because we live in this culture, like I'll still have sort of that thing. It's like, oh, I'm not valuable yet because I'm not like, you know, I don't fit this mold. But I feel like my advice would be similar to yours, Yasmin, in that I didn't realize that like that I want to be with someone who wants to be with me, if that makes sense. Like it's a turn. It should
which
be.
Which is such a radical
crazy,
thing.
Crazy about like radical like politics. Yeah. It should be a turnoff if you're not into me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I'm cool. I'm funny. I'm nice. Oh, you're not into me? Like, that's weird and definitely red flag.
Why would anyone deny themselves?
Exactly. The pleasure. Like, oh, so you don't like fun and you don't like.
Shakira is making fun of me because I love this Zora Neale Hurston quote where she says, fuck off, Shakira.
She says that?
Yes.
That's what that's Shakira got a dad on her neck. Right there.
That's in their eyes for watching God.
She said, how could any deny themselves the pleasure of yeah. my company?
Wow. And Yasmin Lord will quote that getting dragged out of a restaurant. Right? Like, she loves it.
Right? Get out.
How? Kicked out of the ball pit at McDonald's. Quoting Zora Neale Hurston.
They're not just for children.
All the kids are staring. I would love to end our episode on that quote and have all of our listeners take that in and be suspect of any fuckboy who wants to deny himself the your company.
Heck yeah.
Can I also say one quote, though?
No, sweetheart.
Yes.
There's that patriarchy coming through.
Right. Mom, can I say one
this
thing?
This is like the girl, the little kid who awkwardly wants to say grace at dinner.
Oh, don't let him. Don't let him.
I was going to say, I really loved a quote from one of your episodes, Body Image and Bad Bitch Affirmations. Okay? I don't remember who said it. But one of you said, I'm not perfect and neither are you, but you want this, which I am going to say to myself in my head every time I walk into a room in the future when I can walk into rooms because I can't right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who said that?
I don't think it was me.
I know.
Was it Ashley?
I can't take credit because I don't remember. So.
Oh, I guess I should listen
to that. Feels like it might. Damn.
Right?
It sounded like Shakira to me when just from the context. But,
now we'll have to go back and see who deserves that.
I know. I just quickly wrote it down. I should have.
Yeah, now you've created a problem.
Yeah.
Evan. Sorry, I created a feud.
Before we jump off, would you guys like to plug anything specifically in terms of your podcast? Or
I mean,
it's like
go listen to our podcast.
It's a great podcast. We talk about so many fun things. And
we can sell ourselves better than this.
I know.
We can do better.
You guys sound like you're talking about someone else's podcast that you secretly haven't listened to.
Yeah, actually.
Everything.
You down?
Well, I will say.
This can be deleted.
Here, yeah. If you guys don't mind, I'm going to pitch it.
Okay.
Okay.
You all have to listen to. You down. No, I'm sorry. I was going to say all of your names and I was like, I might as well say, okay, you guys all have to listen to You Down. It's on iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcast. They talk about cancel culture, self-love, therapy, sexuality, body image, intersectionality. They invite really great experts on body image. I've learned a lot from the sexuality episode. I was like, lube, what is that? I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
And they answer your burning questions, literally. And to round out each episode, they have an advice letter segment. You know, I love those.
Incredible advice.
Thank you. Oh, we thank try. You.
We are unlicensed, but we give it regardless.
We take it
serious. Yeah. And follow us on, our social medias, OOD Improv, on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Yes. Obama's Other Daughters on Instagram and OOD Improv on Facebook.
You can also catch their Comedy Central digital series, which is fucking amazing. The Game of Thrones sketch you guys did was, first of all, just well produced and well directed. Like, I was like,
I know,
shit.
It looked exactly like Game of Thrones.
I literally at first was like, oh, they got that guy, Kit Haring. And then I was like, oh, no, he just looks exactly like him.
No, we got
shot
Josh,
that in
Josh
Morocco.
Was great.
On the set of the real camp.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, I totally love that you picked the hot location,
Mommy. I was like, maybe the like Scotland or the weird winter.
No, it was such a hot day.
It was a hot day. Yeah. And we were
You guys were in those crazy
furs.
Nicole Kidman from the Undoing quotes.
Yes. directed by Lucia Annio.
Oh, I love Lucia. Oh my God, I love she's so she's cool. So I've met her like a couple of times and like almost works with her on a couple of things, but she's so amazing.
Yeah. But thank you.
Yes. Thanks.
This has been
so fun.
Thanks for having us.
This was
very
fun.
A true
so
joy.
Fun. Yeah.
My face hurts from laughing.
I know, me too. And that was the amazing group, Obama's Other Daughters. I mean, really, just, I feel like the luxury of this podcast is that we get to hang out with so many cool people.
I totally agree. And it is, this podcast is definitely the best thing that happened to me in 2020. So,
likewise, what is your New Year's resolution?
I don't really believe in those because I think they just set me up to hate myself. But I am actually just focusing on how proud I am of stuff that I've already accomplished.
You quit smoking.
I quit smoking. Then I quit vaping. Then I quit nicotine lozenges. And I am healthier than I've ever been. And what that looks like is actually gaining what I'll call upwards of 10 pounds. And it's weird.
10 pounds plus.
For me to wrap my head around that, because I'm like, okay, like I'm exercising for the first time in like a decade. I regularly exercise and I quit smoking. I quit all this stuff. I don't really drink soda anymore. And yet I don't drink afternoon coffee anymore. And yet I have gained weight. But I think that that is like, this is just what my body looks like healthy. And I'm learning to accept that instead of obsessing about numbers. And I think that's cool, I guess. It's just weird.
It absolutely is. And much like saying embarrassing things at a party, nobody notices, if that makes sense.
Right.
And needless to say, have never thought, oh, wow, Devin has gained weight. Likewise, I don't think my weight gain this year is very noticeable, and it definitely happened, but I like this thing. What am I proud of from 2020? I'm proud that I got back in. I got for the first time very much into volunteering for political campaigns after all of the Black Lives Matter marches. It really made me realize how, without hating myself, how little I've done. And how good intentions only mean so much if they're not matched by action. So I really wanted to keep my word and volunteer more. And instead of just making it, I suck, I'm a part of the problem. It's just more like, okay, what am I doing? And I don't need to save the world. I can do stuff like lick envelopes and write postcards. And that's a way to be helpful. So I'm proud of that. I spent way too much time on social media and it's an addiction, and I'm going to try this year to lay off. And I want to make more friends this year. Wow. Really ending on that note is humbling.
Well, I'll be your friend forever.
Likewise. I love you, Devin.
Love you, Carol.
All I ever wanted was a little. I want true romance, it's true. True romance, it's so romantic. Love me, baby, don't leave me hanging. I want true romance.
Right here. Right now, find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.